From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns will continue his series on Paul's Epistle to the Colossians. This epistle sets forth the glorious person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ in a manner designed to increase the believer's love for the Savior and to provide guidance in living the Christian life. Prior to the message by Dr. Cairns, we'll hear a devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as well as some Christ-honoring sacred music. This morning's text is found in Ephesians 1 and verse 3, "Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. All the goodness of the past, the present, and the future Christ bestows upon his people. In the mysterious ages of the past, the Lord Jesus was his Father's first elect, and in his election he gave us an interest, for we were chosen in him from before the foundation of the world. He had from all eternity the prerogatives of sonship as his Father's only begotten and well-beloved Son, and he has, in the riches of his grace, by adoption and regeneration, elevated us to sonship also, so that to us he has given power to become the sons of God. The eternal covenant, based upon suretyship and confirmed by oath, is ours for our strong consolation and security. In the everlasting settlements of predestinating wisdom and omnipotent decree, the eye of the Lord Jesus was ever fixed on us, and we may rest assured that in the whole roll of destiny there is not a line which militates against the interests of his redeemed. The great betrothal of the Prince of Glory is ours, for it is to us that he is affianced, as the sacred nuptials shall ere long declare to an assembled universe. The marvelous incarnation of the God of heaven, with all the amazing condescension and humiliation which attended it, is ours. The bloody sweat, the scourge, the cross are ours forever. Whatever blissful consequences flow from perfect obedience, finished atonement, resurrection, ascension, or intercession, all are ours by his own gift. Upon his breastplate he is now bearing our names, and in his authoritative pleadings at the throne he remembers our persons and pleads our cause. His dominion over principalities and powers and his absolute majesty in heaven he employs for the benefit of them who trust in him. His high estate is as much at our service as was his condition of abasement. He who gave himself for us in the depths of woe and death doth not withdraw the grant now that he is enthroned in the highest heavens."
Thank you.
In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, "A Humble Attempt to Promote Explicit Agreement and Visible Union of God's People in Extraordinary Prayer for the Revival of Religion and Advancement of Christ's Kingdom on Earth." Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seek it seriously. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in Paul's epistle to the Colossians. In spite of the relative insignificance of Colossae as a city, There were a group of true Christians there whose testimony reflected the power of the gospel. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns is showing that here we have a picture of a true New Testament church. The text for the message is verse 2, in which Paul addresses the Colossian believers as the saints and faithful brethren. Saints refers to the fact that the Colossian believers had been brought to salvation in Christ. Then, as faithful brethren, they were believers in the body of doctrine presented in the New Testament. They were people full of faith who lived by the Word of God. Furthermore, the Colossian believers demonstrated a true spiritual unity among themselves.
There's a body of belief that Paul emphasizes. And I will simply sum it up at the moment by saying the New Testament church is based on the body of revealed truth in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're believers. Second, they're full of faith. They're saved by faith. By grace are you saved? Through faith. They're saved through faith. Not only that, but being justified by faith, they live by faith in the Son of God who loved them and gave himself for them. You see, Christians are a people who are full of faith. They're a people who have to come back ultimately to the gospel and relate their hope for life eternal, relate their power to live in this world, relate everything they are and everything they do to the central verities of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're full of faith. They can never get away from that. They reject all systems of human merit. They reject all systems of human works. They're a people of faith. And then, as a result, they're trustworthy. They're a faithful people. People who are full of faith will be faithful. You see, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to remain true to Christ. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to be Christ-likely true in your dealings with other people, whatever the cost. You see, this brings us right back, full circle. Only these people have the right to be called saints. Anybody can say, I'm a saint, I have been purchased by the blood of Christ. I can't see that, I can't affirm it, I can't deny it. Somebody says, I have been purchased by the blood of Christ. I have to take you in the judgment of charity and according to appearance on your own testimony. You say also, well, I am a believer. Again, I have to take what you say. I can't affirm it. I can't deny it. Until it comes down to this point. Because I can tell you, you're not purchased by the blood of Christ, and you're not washed in the blood of the Lamb, and you're not a believer if you're not true to Jesus Christ. Those who are full of faith will be faithful. This is what Paul is saying. Only the faithful have the right to the honored title of saints. Only those in whom God has placed the faith of the gospel so that that faith unites them to Christ. And that union with Christ works out in their lives. It cannot do anything else. Only they are numbered among the saints. There's the fidelity of the church. And what a need there is for us today to prove it in a day of apostasy and drift. And then the final thing, very briefly, is that he calls them brethren in Christ. Brethren in Christ. And that is the unity of the New Testament church. I want you to see it clearly that the New Testament church is marked by certain beliefs, but not only by its beliefs. The New Testament church is marked by holy behavior in its people, but not only by holy behavior It's also marked by two important things. One is relationship and the other is fellowship. And these two things are first with Christ. Notice there are two things here that are in opposition. I suppose they are, but they're certainly meant to be a contrast. Notice verse 2, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae. The words at Colossae quite simply are in Colossae. So let's, instead of at, read in and then read it again. To the faithful brethren in Christ which are in Colossae. In Colossae versus in Christ. There's a very marked contrast. In Colossae speaks of their natural environment, their natural relationships. In Christ, however, supersedes all that, and it speaks of their new standing in union with the Lord Jesus. In Christ, they stand justified. In Christ, they are accepted. But the point here in the faithful brethren in Christ reference is that this is true of all who are saints of God. It's true of all who are the faithful in Christ Jesus. Didn't Paul write in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26, ye are all the children of God through faith in Christ Jesus? Thus, and this is an important part, the New Testament church is a body of people who, despite their evil earthly environment and culture, remember these people came out, some of them from heathenism, some from corrupted Judaism. Despite their evil and earthly environment and culture, the New Testament church is a body of people who have a peculiar relationship and fellowship with each other. And that relationship and that fellowship are established and regulated by their common relationship and fellowship together with Christ. Now again, that's easily said. It's not so easily worked out. In Colossae, there were tensions. Saved Gentiles, professed saved Jews. And they were in tension. You bring it all the way from New Testament times into our time. How many things people want to bring into the church from Colossae, from the city, from the world? How many things people want to bring from their background, their culture, their education, their experience. And the only thing that it has to commend it is that it's theirs. And they want to take that which is their background or their comfort zone, and they want to impose that upon the entire body of God's people. And before you know it, you have Christian fighting Christian. The number of things that I as a minister and we as a church are asked to make central to our ministry would amaze you and maybe sometimes amuse you. We are unfaithful, we are told, if we are not fighting the government on its socializing policies. We're not faithful if we're not fighting for some tax initiative. We're not faithful if we're not doing this or doing that or doing the other thing. There are Christians, and I'm going to be perfectly blunt with you here because I've lived with this in my own country, and I've got to tell you it here too. And they can't get over history. Now, I love history. And I am the last to say, forget about it. If you don't learn from your history, you'll repeat its mistakes. But there are things that I cannot change. I'm not living in the 16th or the 17th or the 18th or the 19th or now even in the 20th century. I'm living right here. And where you find Christians fighting Christian and dividing the church over their view of history, over their view of politics, man, this is Colossae. Now you're in Colossae. And it doesn't say you forget about your history or you forget about your culture or you forget about your background, except insofar as it is demonstrably anti-Christian. And then it should be put under the blood and put away. But the point I'm making is this. Colossae does not regulate Christ. Christ regulates Colossae. What is the New Testament church? It is a church marked by the unity of a people who, whatever their differences in background, whatever their differences in culture, whatever their differences in education, whatever their differences in interpretation of national or even world affairs, they are the children of God in Christ. They have a holy nearness and a holy dearness to God because they're in Christ. And they therefore have a holy nearness and a holy dearness to each other because they recognize each other as being in Christ. That's what Paul is teaching the Colossians. So here's the basic picture of a New Testament church. It's marked by three things. It's purity. It's a church of saints. Now remember, there's still saints under construction. They're not perfect, except in Christ. They're holy, but they're not sinless. They're separated unto God. They possess genuine holiness. They're not a bunch of hypocrites. They don't just have a face of holiness. They have a heart for Christ. They have a heart of holiness. But they're not perfect. But they're pure. It's a difference. The purity of the church. The fidelity of the church. It's full of faith. Because it believes the gospel, it believes this Bible, believes the truth revealed. Not because it can prove it or understand it, but because God has revealed it. And then it's marked by unity. The faithful brethren are brethren in Christ. Here's the picture then of a New Testament church.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.